Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Joe McGranahan.
Thank you and good morning. Welcome back on board On the Mark. It is an open phones day, which means if you give us a call at 570-743-9565, you will hear a ringing sound and the phone will be picked up by a very friendly guy named Rob Center, who will ask you a few simple questions and then put you through to us and On the Mark. As I said, it's an open phones day. Anything you want to talk about is fair game. I have some topics I'd like to talk about, but we're going to start with you this morning. Remind you that On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at www.sunburymotors.com. Our telephone number, 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. But be sure to include the keyword OTM at the start of your message. You know, we all know that SMC stands for Sunbury Motor Company, selling more cars, satisfying more customers. With that comes the need for many great behind-the-scenes employees. While they already have many awesome technicians ready and willing to serve you, they need more because of their very huge amount of business, huge volume of business that they've earned over their 107 years. They're looking for entry-level and experienced technicians to work in their quick lane, car and light truck service, heavy truck service, body and frame alignment, and their towing departments, too. Whether you're an experienced technician, an entry-level technician looking for your first job, or someone looking for a career change, they would love to hear from you. Stop by in person or apply online at sunburymotors.com or call Todd at 286-7746. Well, you have two callers to get us started this morning right off the bat. And Stan, the angry man, as Mark used to call you, you're on the mark.
I'm never angry. A little upset at times, but never angry.
Fair enough. What bee is under your bonnet today?
Well, I'm old enough to remember when everybody... When I mentioned that the Hunter Biden laptop was exposing the Biden crime family, I was old enough to remember that people said, it doesn't matter, he's not elected, he's just a private citizen, blah, 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 blah. But come to find out that every day something's coming out that Biden, Joe himself, was heavily involved with the deals that were going down that Hunter was making. He's on the phone calls with these people. You know, Hunter would call up his dad when he was in negotiation, the way it sounds, to, to get his input. Well, and Joe's the one that told us that he never discussed Hunter's business deals with Hunter. Never, ever. So I'm thinking the impeachment articles need to be filed, and they need to be filed soon for treason and high crimes and misdemeanors. Don't you think, Joe?
I think there's subtle change, if you will, in the way the White House, through Jean Chrétien, the press secretary, she said yesterday that the president had never been in business with his son. The question was whether or not if they still were standing by the assertion of President Biden that he had never talked to his son about his foreign business dealings. Now they're saying he was never in business with his son. So there is a subtle change there. What it means, I'm not sure, but it does sound like they're getting ready to back off their claim.
Well, I'm thinking he was in business with him. He was a silent partner in the whole business because he was, according to the FBI 203s that were released by Mr. Grassley, he got $5 million from the Ukrainians, and it sounds like it was more of a shakedown than a bribe.
Well, that's what Grassley said, or someone said on TV. It sounded like a shakedown. But, you know, none of this has been proven, just like nothing has been proven about Donald Trump and the Russian dossier. Actually, it's been disproven. I think we owe President Biden, you know, the presumption of innocence until proven guilty. I'm willing to accord that to him the same way I think it should be accorded to Donald Trump. But the left isn't likely to do that.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly my point. That's not going to happen, so... You know, we'll have to wait and see how it all plays out. But, you know, things are not looking good for them right at the moment. It's looking pretty bad, in fact, I think.
Well, I think it should be investigated. I mean, there's certainly some smoke there. There was smoke with Donald Trump, and it should have been investigated. There is sure smoke here. Marjorie Taylor Greene, I think it was, pulled up some pictures, some pornographic images that were taken off Hunter's laptop. You know, and then there's that letter signed by 51 foreign intelligence experts who said prior to the election that this was Russian, had all the earmarks of Russian disinformation.
Now and that was a lie.
Yeah, now they're forced to admit it's actually a thing.
And you know who pushed that lie?
The mainstream media.
No.
I thought that's what you were going to say.
No, for the Russian disinformation. Oh, yeah, the mainstream media pushed it. But you know who started it? Mr. Anthony Blinken, our fine Secretary of State, who called up the sitting CIA director and asked them to look at it and push the narrative that it was Russian disinformation. That's who started it.
Okay.
He was Biden's chief of staff on the campaign. So they did this like 5 or 10 days before the only debate that they had.
Mm-hmm.
So when Trump mentioned about Biden and his crookedness, that's when Biden had his talking point to know that all these past intelligence officials said it's Russian disinformation. That was started by Anthony Blinken. So it goes back. They knew it was a lie, and they continued to, you know, spout that lie.
Well, I think there certainly needs to be a closer look taken at this. And if we can find something, certainly the president is not above the law, and neither is Donald Trump. You know, if he did something wrong, he should pay the penalty for it, too. You know, but I'd like to have a clean administration again. Somebody like, well, even Dwight Eisenhower had a little bit of dirt in his administration. You know, I guess it's inevitable that sooner or later you're going to appoint somebody bad to office or something crooked or unseemly is going to happen. But I think we need to be transparent about it, and we need to be willing to take a close look at it. The thing that bothers me is that the conservatives are more than willing to look at Biden's missteps, but the liberals aren't willing to look at them, and the liberals are more than willing to look at Trump's missteps, but the conservatives aren't really interested in doing that either. So,
well, you know what they always say, the cover-up's always worse than the crime.
That's true. It certainly was for Tricky Dick Nixon.
Yeah, and I believe that although the stuff with Hunter Biden and the rest of the Biden crime family might be a little worse. The crime might be worse than the cover-up.
Okay. Hey, thanks. We appreciate your comments, Dan, as always. Thank you, sir. Glad to hear your voice this morning. Also glad to hear Chris from Milton. Good morning, Chris. I'm sure you're going to take the opposite line, so fire away.
Yeah, I have a dentist appointment, so I won't be here very long. So I wanted to...
Hope nothing major, I hope.
Some of the right-wing foolishness that's been going on this show. The earmarks of Russian disinformation, it actually did have them. And you can look that up, what they were. And the Hunter, at least you're saying that he said at last the Hunter Biden crime family, although there's no indication that Joe's involved at all. You think Joe never showed up on that phone call that he's talking about. It was just Hunter claiming he was there. And, you know, he's trying to shake down the Chinese or whatever to get them paid for something that they didn't pay him for yet, I think, on that call. And, yeah, he's threatening to have his dad talk to them. But they didn't call his bluff. They should have called his bluff, but they didn't. So the idea that Hunter was always telling the truth, even though he's a cheating, lying guy, according to them.
What do you think he is?
Callers, according to your callers.
What do you think he is, Chris?
We will believe anything he says if it's about his father, that we can imply something's going on.
Chris, what do you think he is? Chris, what do you think he is? Hunter Biden, you've described him as how the left or the right thinks he is. How do you think he is?
He was a drug addicted guy who was in very sad shape mentally and in his personal life.
But yet his dad says he's the smartest guy he knows.
He's paying big time for it.
His dad says he's the smartest guy he knows. You know, he's the smartest guy Joe Biden knows.
And you don't think He might be.
He might be, yeah. I don't think he's very smart.
I don't know. He might be smart, I mean.
You know,
you don't know he's not smart, do you?
No, but let me put this story just came out this morning.
No, I don't want to talk about this anymore. I'm moving on.
Okay, move on.
Gay, trans people, they're legal. You don't lose rights because you become gay or trans and all of a sudden people can't serve you, have the right not to serve you. That's just nonsense stuff. You don't lose your rights by becoming a Christian. You don't lose your rights by becoming an atheist. You don't lose your rights by being gay.
Well, whose rights are we talking about here? Who's taking away these rights?
We're talking about the Supreme Court decisions and the special rights you get for Christians these days.
Okay, but the Supreme Court's making decisions based on how they interpret the Constitution. They're not deliberately setting out with an agenda to take somebody's rights away.
I'm saying to show why I disagree with them.
Okay.
You don't lose rights because you're doing something legal.
All right, I agree with you there.
And then and in schools, if there's anything that's appropriate for a heterosexual married couple, it's appropriate to talk about those same things for a homosexual married couple. It's just you can't eliminate one without eliminating the other. Sure, it should be age appropriate. Other than that, if it's age appropriate for about one group, it's age appropriate about the other group. And the idea that you have to talk about the benefits of slavery for the poor black race? Oh, my God.
Wait a second. That's a little unfair.
Just take that and make fun of it, because there's nothing else to do about
it. That's a little unfair, Chris. That's a little unfair because Kamala Harris...
Let me
speak for a minute. Kamala Harris made a big deal out of that, and what the guy said, what the report said, was that in some instances, they were taught a trade that could benefit them later in life. They didn't condone slavery, and in fact, that bill makes it pretty clear how slavery is to be taught, and it's taught with all of its warts and horrors right in there.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
If it embarrasses anybody in the room, you can't teach it.
Run that by me again. If it embarrasses anybody.
They can fire the teacher if it embarrasses anybody in the room.
I didn't see that in the bill. Not at all.
It's in the bill.
So it says if you embarrass a student, you will be fired. That's in the bill.
No, the teacher can complain, and then you can parent can complain, and then you can be fired. It's intimidation. It's threatening job security, and that's what they do in that bill, and that's what they do. And it does talk. They changed it so you don't know Rosa Parks is black.
Now, how could you not know that? And how would you teach that?
Because they never say that the reason she couldn't sit in the back of the bus, front of the bus, was because she was black.
So what do they say?
They managed to report to do a textbook like that.
What do they say?
That she's black.
You're saying that says she's not black, but what do they say about her? You don't know, do
they
you?
They say she did this legal case. She had a legal case. She sat in the front of the bus, which was against the law, and she had the legal case. But they don't say why it was against the law or that she was a black woman doing it.
And this is the Florida bill you're talking about.
This is the Florida textbook I'm talking about.
And it doesn't say that Rosa Parks is black.
Right.
I'm going to have to check that one out.
They avoid mentioning that.
Okay.
They avoid mentioning that.
Hey, listen, we'll let you wrap up. We move on quickly.
Yeah,
very quickly here, because we got another caller waiting. I got to take a break.
All you people who still believe the election was rigged, if you have no evidence, all the evidence has gone the other way. If you complain about the Supreme Court decisions, they changed some laws because of the pandemic, and they changed laws before other elections when Republicans were not counting people in vote, removing people from voting rolls and causing confusion at the poll. That happened too. That happens every election a little bit one way or another. But if you still believe the election's rigged, you have a mental problem.
Okay. Hey, listen, Chris, we got to move on.
As Stan liked to say.
Good luck.
Okay,
good luck
at your... things I wanted to get to. Have a good show.
Good luck at your dentist.
And I probably won't be able to listen to it. So,
well, good luck at your dentist.
They can call up and insult me all they want, like they always like to do when I've been on.
Okay, Chris.
Because they seem to get great joy out of it.
Have a good one, buddy. I hope you have a good time at the dentist.
Have a good day, too.
Take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Okay, 570-743-9565 is our hotline number. We have to take a quick break. Eric, hang on. You will be next. If you want to give us a call on these or other topics, use that number. Email us at onthemarketwkok.com or text us at 70236.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Today on Hey Culligan, smooth skin and soft hair comes from where? Here's Mike.
Hey Culligan, I've tried every conditioner, lotion, and body wash known to man, and my skin still feels like sandpaper.
It could be your water, Mike.
Oh, that's harsh.
More like hard water. Are you interested in smart, high-efficiency water softeners from Culligan Water?
Huh?
Want baby smooth skin and soft, luxurious hair?
Yeah, can you hurry? I have a date tonight.
We're already on the way, Mike. Let us help you out with the free in-home water test from a local Culligan Water expert at Culligan.com.
Call Culligan of North Central Pennsylvania today for all your water treatment needs and set up a free in-home water test with a water professional that knows the water where you live. Culligan of North Central Pennsylvania. Call 1-800-788-1978. That's 1-800-788-1978. Or visit them online at callculligan.com. That website again is callculligan.com. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Susan, I'm sorry I'm late. Traffic is terrible.
It sure is. But on top of that, gas prices have been skyrocketing. I can't believe how expensive gas has gotten recently.
Prices at the pump are up, but I never pay full price for gas anymore. I just use the free Upside app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back every time I buy gas.
And does that actually add up to anything?
I've made around $200.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code TRAVEL for an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, to PayPal, or any gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code TRAVEL for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code TRAVEL for 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up.
Welcome back to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan. 570-743-9565 is our toll-free hotline number. Brought to you, if you have a cell phone, it's toll-free. Brought to you this morning, as every morning, by the Sunbury Motor Company, selling more cars, satisfying more customers since 1915. Our friend Chris just made a statement about they dropped out of the textbook in Florida the fact that Rosa Parks was a person of color. You know, it'd be nice if once in a while somebody got the complete story straight. And this is from CNN. And Eric, hang on, I'm sorry to make you wait, but this is important. Studies Weekly, a publisher that provides educational periodicals for Florida's K through 6 grades, revised one of their lesson plans for the 22-23 school year to take out race as the reason Rosa Parks was told to change her bus seat and why she was subsequently arrested. So far, Chris has that right. Now, the initial text, which reportedly says Parks was told to move to a different seat because of the color of her skin, was edited because individuals in our curriculum team severely overreacted in their interpretation of HB 70 and made unapproved revisions. So it was put back in that Rosa Parks was asked to move because of her color, and it has stayed in there. So hopefully, Chris, that will illuminate the issue for you. Eric, thank you for your patience. You're on the mark.
I think that Chris makes a point, because why would academics or people putting together a textbook even consider pulling that out, save for concern about that Florida law?
Well, they said they severely overreacted. They didn't say they made a logical interpretation based on what the law says. The company says they severely overreacted.
But it was because of the law that's in place that they did so. But that's not what I want to talk about.
Okay,
I'm just thinking Chris makes some good points, some that are kind of way out there. And then there's our friend Stan, who and we had a short time yesterday to call in. I appreciated the info provided during the first three quarters of the show, but I called in and Stan called after. And I called in talking quite a bit about our state minimum wage. Mm-hmm. And Stan's response was, oh, I ain't going to talk about that. And then he talked about the big problem concerning shoplifting. And I'm like, let's put the smash and grab away from that, because I think that's done by gangs and by whoever. But let's talk about the individual person. Could it be, perhaps, that there's more shoplifting because people aren't able to make a livable wage, and the only way they can survive is to do that activity? And if we'd raise the minimum wage, maybe the shoplifting would go down, and other crimes would go down.
So, in other words, you believe people are shoplifting to make ends meet?
I think some people are. And you say, oh, yeah, but Eric, they're shoplifting high-priced items. Yeah, well, you think someone who is shoplifting is just going to take that item home and display it on their mantle? Heck no, they're selling it. They're turning around selling the black market for cash.
Okay, we just had two news stories recently down here of people going into Monroe Marketplace, one of them going into Best Buy and taking out, I forget what all they took, phones or something like that, and then going into the beauty supply store and taking perfume. This sounds like highly organized thefts targeted for certain areas. It doesn't sound like a poor person who just needs a few bucks to buy a loaf of bread.
But how many of those aren't reported? If you look on a daily item and you can see that the retail theft, it's not usually those that type of thing. But anyway, what I wanted to bring up was some facts, because I enjoy facts.
Okay.
Of course, Pennsylvania has the lowest minimum wage of any state which touches ours. West Virginia, what do you think their minimum wage is, Joe?
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I thought. $8.75, a buck and a half, and a pretty good percentage above ours. You know who has low minimum wages? Actually, the states don't have a minimum wage law. Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi. You know, do we want to really be thrown in with those folks? I imagine some people out there do. I think there are people who think they're good redneck boys and display their Confederate flags and all that stuff. You know, think we'll be, along with them.
So opposing the minimum wage means you're a redneck and support the Civil War.
No, what I'm saying is what we're doing is throwing in with those states. And perhaps people like that idea because, hey, minimum wage isn't anything to be worried about,
Okay, well, we have a Democratic governor and a Democratic House in Harrisburg, and where is the bill to increase the minimum wage?
It's stuck in the Senate.
Well, it hasn't passed. It hasn't passed the House.
Yes, it did.
Not this term.
Okay, not this term. But it passed at the end of last year.
Okay, well, then there's a whole new session. Now, believe me, I'm critically aware of this because of the radar bill. Once the session ends, you have to reintroduce it, and you have to start over again. But
we're playing semantics here. There was a bill that passed the House, right? You'll agree with that.
Last year.
At the end of the year, right before they swung things over.
Okay.
And right now, they're tied up with the budget impasse.
What was the amount of that? Refresh my memory. What was the amount that it was raising the minimum wage to?
It was proposed that it would go up on a sliding scale and finally hit 15, I think, in 2026 or 27.
And
so it's going to jump like a buck and a half a little bit and then go up slowly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why hasn't that bill been brought back up by the new Democratic governor and the new Democratic majority in the House?
Because, as you all know, we didn't have a Democratic majority in the House until, April? Until all the other runoff elections took place? And we've been stuck with trying to get a budget passed since that time.
And we haven't done that either.
No, we haven't, because it's also an impasse. I think we had a budget bill come from the House, and it was not done by the Senate.
Well, if you're saying that they're playing politics in Harrisburg, you're not going to get an argument out of me. They are playing politics in Harrisburg. They always do. They always have. They always will. What's so different about that?
And what I'm saying is, though, Pennsylvania is lagging behind. and not where we should be. And I'm proposing a theory that some of the reason we're having so much shoplifting and other petty crimes is the fact that the people can't make a living and can't survive. Let's raise the minimum wage, and then I'll tell you what. Let's raise the minimum wage, and then if we still have an increase in the amount of petty crimes and the amount of shoplifting, that still goes up with the minimum wage going up, I will come on this show and apologize and say I was wrong. Until that time, though, I'm proposing a theory. Let's raise the minimum wage. Let's give people a chance, and also let's work on those credit card that credit card disparity between the prime rate and what our young people especially are being forced to pay, because a lot of them are living off their credit cards because they can't make ends meet without it.
Okay, Eric, since this is your proposal, we raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. How much of a reduction in shoplifting do you anticipate we'll see?
I don't know, but I would say Walmart would be happy with any reduction. Wouldn't you say that?
Well, I would say that if somebody resorts to crime, if they don't avail themselves of the things that are out there to help them, but their first choice is, I can't make ends meet, I'm going to steal from somebody else, I don't think those people are going to change just because they've been given a few extra bucks. I think they're going to say, hey, now I got $15 an hour, and I also can steal.
Yeah, well, when's the last time you couldn't feed your children?
Well, never, thank God. But that you're making
me
it sound
too.
Like everybody who turns to a life of crime has children they can't feed.
Now, Joe, you're putting words on my mouth. I didn't say that.
They're your words.
I know. No, you said that.
No,
you
did.
Said everyone. No, what I'm saying is let's follow my theory. Let's raise the minimum wage and see if it does then allow the crime, petty crime level to go down.
But what about, don't you think there's going to be a quid pro quo here that if you raise the rate to $15 an hour, let's say, people are going to say, oh, gee, I could charge more for my product or my service now because people are making more money. I mean, that's the law of unintended consequences. It happens all the time.
So what do we do, Joe? We throw our hands up and say, unlike all the states around us, including West Virginia, we throw our hands up and say, oh, no, don't do it? Then why do these other states do that, Joe?
Let me tell you, let me answer your question. I think what we do is we develop job training programs. I don't care what they cost, if they're effective. We create job training programs to take people who have no skills at all or minimal skills, and we teach them something useful they can do to make more money so that they're worth more than the minimum wage. That's where we should be putting our efforts.
Why do you think the rest of the states around us have all raised it?
Because that's a simple, easy answer to a complex problem.
So we throw our hands up again and say no.
No, I just told you what we do. I just said, I didn't say anything about throwing our hands up and saying we can't do anything. I say we take people, we find out what they can be trained to do, we find out what jobs we need in the area, and we train people to do those jobs and get them gainfully employed. That's what I want to do.
At the same time, then, why don't we at least be the same as the other states around us, including West Virginia, at $8.75?
I'm not going to argue with you that $7.25 is too low. I think it should be higher than that.
Right.
But, you know, I don't think $15 is the absolute answer to the problem. I don't.
I don't think so, but to throw our hands up and say we're not going to address it at all is not the answer either.
No, I don't want to throw my hands up, as I've said to you twice already. I'll say it a third time. I want to train people to do meaningful work.
At the same time, you believe the minimum wage is too low, correct?
I do. And But I'm not saying it should go up to $15 an hour. Let's at least be on an equal scale with West Virginia. How about that?
That's a good start. And then we'll compare West Virginia pilfering rates to Pennsylvania pilfering rates, and we'll go from there.
Sounds like a plan. Hey, thanks.
The whole idea is we need to look at it and address it in a multifaceted way.
I agree.
Right. But for someone to say, I don't want to talk about the minimum wage and then scream about the increase in, petty crime, you know, that's not the answer either.
But I still say there are alternatives. Just as you say there are alternatives to throwing up our hands and saying we can't do anything, there are alternatives to crime for people in need. There are places to turn. There's this new number, 588 or, 988, I think it is, where if you have a problem, you can call and someone will try and help you. There are charitable organizations that offer food for people who can't feed their children. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can take advantage of that would help you through a transition period to a better life. And I think we need to focus on those and make sure people have the information they need.
But how many times have the Republicans also said, oh, we're not going to put any more money towards social programs because taxes are too high?
That's right. Blame the Republicans.
Joe, who has blocked the legislation to at least start increasing the minimum wage?
I'd love to argue with you, but we have to take another call.
To be continued,
yes,
my good friend.
We'll continue it, Eric. I'm sure we will. Hey, thanks, buddy. Appreciate your calls, as always.
You're welcome.
Take care. Okay, Joe from Sunbury, you're on the mark. Good morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning. I heard Chris. He had a few subjects, but the one was about the Supreme Court and some of the decisions. But I was thinking that he may have taken the medication for his dental appointment before the appointment. So he just seemed out there. I don't understand his part about the Supreme Court cases about the Christians. He said Christians' rights are being put above the gay rights, I guess, is the other people. It might be an assortment of people. But the last two, I think, that were focused on that was we had talked about it earlier, the cake maker and now the web designer.
Right.
Right. Okay, so they were both held up for the shop owner. And I was just wondering if Chris does know, like, how they come to the conclusion where they hold these cases up against the Constitution, not against the New York Times headlines of the day, right? They, you know, what people want. It's up against the law of the land, right? These, and this recent one was the state of Colorado made a law that would force the shop owner to do the will of someone else, right? That was part of the case. I'm not sure if everybody or anybody knows that, but that was what was wrong, because why, I don't see in the Constitution where there's anything about gay rights being above your right to worship, which is in the Constitution, right? And to uphold your beliefs, and the government shall not impinge on them. Doesn't say the government can't impinge on your gay rights, but I just don't get how he's figuring that's some kind of wrong ruling by the court recently.
Well,
because you yourself, Joe, did say that you've changed your mind, maybe not completely, but you see some of the facts, you know, when I ask you about the cake maker in particular, you thought if I go in, you know, to an establishment and I want what I want, they're forced or they have to do it for me, right? That was kind of your stance.
I believe that if you are in business and you open up your doors and say, I'm a cake baker, you should bake cakes for whoever comes through the door. If you have if you have a qualification for that, say, no, I will bake cakes for anybody but gay people, that should be clearly stated before on your door so that gay people know not to go in.
Right, but that's not necessary. I mean, maybe that's what you think, but that wouldn't be necessary. And when someone comes into your shop and you have the right to say, no, I don't believe in that because of my religious beliefs, they can't say, well, I got the government. This is what the people wanted to do to the lady in Colorado about the web design. No, you have to do what I do. I know they were only trying to get this point, but I have the government on my side, which they did have the state of Colorado on their side.
Right.
But then that's when it went to the court, the Supreme Court, and they said, no, that's not, because the federal government does have its rights to oversee that states can't make laws that infringe on people's rights, right? That would be like the old Jim Crow laws. The feds had to come in and iron that out, right? You can't do that.
You can do anything, Joe, until someone takes it to court and the judge
overturns
it.
Right, I agree with that, right, just like Biden or Trump did, and you can do anything, right? And then it's challenged, and all these are set up just like Roe v. Wade probably took maybe 30 years to get to the Supreme Court through different state cases that they had, right? And this was going to the state. It goes through the whole system. I understand that. But this, I just don't understand how the rights of people to, you know, believe in their own religion is overridden by someone who just says, I want a cake, and no matter what, I have the government on my side. If it would have been ruled that way in the case for her, that I have my constitution right here, and it says that you have to bake a cake for me, that if, believe it or not.
Well, I did change my mind to one extent on the Supreme Court's decision where someone's personal creativity, I mean, what they know, what's in their brain, if they're asked to do something against their beliefs, I don't believe that's right. But I don't think a cake fits into that category. If I ask you to paint a picture that I find, I'm an artist, a world-renowned artist, and I'm asked to paint a picture I don't believe in, I think I should have the right to say no, because that's my creativity, my personal ability.
But in the Baker's case, he said, you can have any cake in the
store,
my shop.
Right, except I won't design one for you.
And they came in with their own personal idea that they wanted him to create this for a gay wedding, I think it was, and he said no. But he didn't. He didn't keep them from buying any cake in the shop.
True.
But he did say, "I'm not going to create what you have in your mind, and you're not going to force me to do it." And that's what that case was about.
Okay.
Not about him selling a cake. He was willing, and I think he sold cakes before to anybody.
Right, he did.
And everybody.
Hey, listen, we got to move on, Joe. We have to take a break. Thanks so much for calling. Call again. Dave and Bob, you want to talk about minimum wage? I want to get to you. Hang on. We got to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Want to work for a stable yet growing company? Got it. Want to work for a family-owned business with over 100 years' experience in taking care of customers and employees? Got it. Want to work for a leader in selling more cars and satisfying more customers? Got it. Who has all that? SMC Sunbury Motor Company is looking for technicians across all their departments. Whether you're an entry-level technician, an experienced technician, or someone looking for a career change, Sunbury Motors would love to hear from you. They're looking for technicians for their quick lane, car and light truck service, heavy truck service, body shop, and frame and alignment division. You can apply online at sunburymotors.com, in person at our North 4th Street location, or call Todd at 570-286-7746. Your new career of working on Fords, Kias, Hyundais, Western Star trucks, plus anything that fits in the door, and some things that don't. Join Sunbury Motors. Your new career is waiting for you.
From the very beginning, we're all about being connected. And year after year, through every stage of life, that need grows even stronger. Which is why Penn Teledata never stops improving our advanced fiber network. We connect the things that matter most. Businesses, schools, healthcare, governments, and of course, the people who make our community strong. This is technology with a purpose. Stay connected with Penn Teledata.
In this market, you'll find Fisher Investments is different than other money managers.
Different how? Aren't we all just looking for the hottest stocks?
Nope. We use diversified strategies to position our clients' portfolios for their long-term goals.
You don't just provide cookie-cutter portfolios?
No. We tailor our clients' portfolios to their goals and needs.
But you still sell investments that generate high commissions for you, right?
No, we don't sell commission-based products. We're a fiduciary, the highest standard of care for a financial advisor. It means we're obligated to act in our clients' best interest.
So when do you make more money? Only when your clients make more money?
Yep, we have one transparent management fee structured so we do better when our clients do better.
Sounds like you really look out for your clients.
We do, because our priority is helping them achieve a comfortable retirement. That might be why most of our clients come from other money managers. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments, clearly different money management.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss.
Welcome back to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. Give us a call at 570-743-9565. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com. Text us at 70236, but ensure to include OTM at the start of your message. Got a ton of them. We'll try to get to them, but calls come first. And Dave, you have been waiting patiently. You are on the mark. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you. I like to talk about minimum wage. What is minimum wage?
You want me to define it?
It's $7 and...
Oh, you want to know not what it is philosophically, the rate is.
$7.25. If you want a job, you are not going to find a job. You're going to find a job a lot higher than that. So don't mess with it. Get them out. Get them to go to work. It's the kids. They have to grow up and they want to work. When I started working, I worked third shift. I didn't need daycare that much, but we send them for a half a day.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of the basement, go work, save your money, and work overtime.
So if I get
a lot of overtime. There's a lot of money you can make with overtime out there, and they're starting out $12. My son's going to college, and he's working at Wiseman making $12. It gives him, you know, experience, and he's not late. If you're not late for work, and if you don't take off, you will move up and you will make more money.
Dave, you bring up a good point. Is anybody actually accepting employment at $7.25 an hour? And if so, where?
They won't take that. They won't take that. There's too many jobs out there paying a lot more.
Yeah, you're right.
There's just too many. And you work, and there's a lot of overtime to be made. If you're living at home, this is a time to work overtime and make money and go buy a house or whatever you want to buy. But what I see, and I worked that night shift 39 years. The company closed up. I got another job working 11 to 7. And you still have a family life. You can be with your kids. You can be with your wife. The only thing you lose out is sleep. Well, you know, so be it, you know. But get out there and work. Just work. But what I found is they have the opportunity to work overtime, but they don't. And what I found is that transportation, their car breaks down, they can't get it fixed. I give people rides to work. They want to pay me. I don't accept it. You know, I'm trying, you know, just get out and work. And if there's overtime, do it. Because eventually you're going to get ahead.
But wouldn't it be better, instead of paying people overtime, if we found more people to actually do the jobs? You know, I think what we talked about yesterday is something like 8 or 9 million jobs going begging in this country simply because people won't take them.
No, and they do have on the job, they will train you at the place you're working. They will train you.
Right. Hopefully, you know, they will.
They did me. I mean, they, you know, and you don't take off and you're not late. They're going to reward you for that. They are. They really are.
Fair enough.
But you got to put the blame on the kids. The kids, you know, they got to step up. They just have to step up and work. And the parents have to push them and say, look, this is what you can have if you work overtime.
Yeah,
I mean, this is a great opportunity to get ahead.
Get out of the basement. Go to work.
Get out of the basement.
Hey, good advice.
I mean, if I could live in my mom's basement, my parents' basement, I would have done it, and that's dirt floor.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, you just have to, you know. But man, you start out, you know, minimum wage $7. You can go and make $12-$20 an hour. You know. Working overtime, you know, you're making $15 an hour. Put overtime, that's time and a half.
Yeah, no,
I mean,
you make up a good point. Hey, listen, we got to move on. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate your call from Sunbury. We have one call on the line, one coming in. We'll get to the one that's on the line right now. Bob from Pac Sinus. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Yeah, good morning. You said about who around here hires people for $7.25 an hour.
Right.
Knoebels is one of them.
But that's summertime employment. That's not people looking for a living wage, is it?
It's employment no matter what. And as far as the $7.25 goes, they should make that mandatory because they can actually start 15-year-olds out at $4.50 an hour for 90 days. Waiters and waitresses only make $3 or $4 an hour, and they have to go on tips to earn that extra money. So how are you going to get ahead if you're only getting $4 or $5 an hour?
Well, you just said that's only for a very limited time, and then they get the regular $7.25, right?
That's for 15-year-olds. That's not for waiters and waitresses.
Well, I realize that's part of, you know, they are allowed to pay a lower rate for that, but they do make good tips in most instances.
Yeah, but that's still not getting them ahead. As far as the $7.25 goes, that should go for everyone. I don't care what your employment is.
Well, hopefully it would be higher than that. And I think our last caller made a good point that, you know, very few people are accepting that employment at $7.25. Now, over the summer at a place like Knoebels, you know, you're out in the sunshine. It's a beautiful day. You probably get discounts on park tickets. And it's a good summer job for kids. It makes them some money for whatever they need to go back to school, whether it's clothes or something else. I mean, that's the whole idea behind a minimum wage, that somebody is able to, you know, start out, get a start working, get some responsibility, get some job experience.
You take $7.25 and add it for 40 hours a week. What do you come up with? About $300, $400?
Somewhere.
I see that in the paper. To rent an apartment is $800 or more.
Right, but these kids aren't going to rent apartments, Bob. They're looking to, you know, get some money to go back to school. They're not looking to rent an apartment or raise a family yet. And you just admitted those are the people who are making the minimum wage.
But I'm saying they're only starting out at $4.50. You know?
But for 90 days, you said.
Yeah. It costs you more than that to drive to work.
Well, that's a decision you have to make. I'm sure if they can't get people at that rate, if people won't say, listen, I can't take this job. I can't afford to drive my car to your place of business every day. You don't take the job. And then pretty soon they have to raise their rates because nobody will work for them at that rate.
Right, I hear you. But that was my big complaint about minimum wage. I mean, I used to pick tomatoes for 25 cents a basket, and I'll tell you what, it takes a lot of baskets to make anymore.
I bet it does.
Thank you. Have a good day.
How's your back after that? I bet it's sore.
I was young.
Yeah, well, weren't we all once, Bob? Hey, thanks a lot for your call. Appreciate it. Okay. Take care. We have two calls on the line, Van and Lance. We'll get to them in just a moment. We just have to take our last break of the day.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp now for free information on how to get started today. InventHelp provides invention services that help everyday inventors get started with their idea. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. Our services include professional materials needed to showcase your invention, and 3D animation and prototype modeling that help you demonstrate your idea. Get down to the details of your idea with a technical drawing. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Take advantage of the opportunity to get started today.
Call 1-800-354-9416. That's 1-800-354-9416. Again, 1-800-354-9416.
This is Pre-Tection. Yep, Pre-Tection. The everyday skin protection ritual that protects your skin from mosquitoes. Pre-barbecue. Pre-playground. Pre-everything. Pre-everyday. Prevention is the best protection. This summer, make sure you have Off, the number one dermatologist-recommended repellent brand. SC Johnson, a family company.
Okay, welcome back to On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. Van from New Columbia, you have been most patient, sir. You are on the mark. Good morning.
Morning, Joe. How you doing?
Hanging in there. How about you, buddy?
No, pretty good. If Eric's premise is true that shoplifting occurs because of people having low wages, then why is it the majority of these shoplifting incidents are in the large cities, and they are the smash and grab variety, And they're not the homeless people that are doing the majority of the shoplifting. And the items that are being shoplifted aren't for food to sustain a person's life. My brother-in-law used to work down at Walmart in Lewisburg, and there were, you know, college-age kids that would come in on the night shift, and they would be open 24 hours, and they would steal flat-screen TVs out of the store. So it's not a matter of a low wage that these people are shoplifting. It's a matter of their poor morality. Their morals stink.
Well, that is the fallacy in the argument that Eric put forward. If I'm hungry and I can't feed my kids, why would I steal a color TV set? By the time I sold it, found a buyer for it and sold it, my kids would probably still be very hungry. If I was going to feed them, I'd steal food, right?
Yeah, you go to the farmer's market and load up stuff and run out.
Right.
You know, but it's the whole premise of the minimum wage being only $7.25 in Pennsylvania. Hey, there's kids I know that work at Walmart. They move the carts, you know, in from the parking lot, and they're getting paid $15 an hour. So that's double the minimum wage. And like you said to the other caller, minimum wage was never designed to be a sustainable living wage. It's for young kids just getting into the workforce. And who can, you know, we can't afford to pay these kids, you know, $20 an hour to flip burgers at McDonald's or to wash dishes at a restaurant. I mean, because that cost is going to pass on to the people.
Yeah.
So I don't, Eric's argument just falls apart.
But yet, you have to admit that $7.25 does seem a little low. It hasn't changed in years and years and years.
Oh.
And inflation has certainly gone up far higher than the minimum wage.
Absolutely. But I would guarantee you that with all the businesses looking for people to work, and for some reason they can't get people to work, and they're not paying minimum wage to start them out. They may be down $10 an hour, $11 an hour, which that may seem low, but for someone just entering the workforce, that's not bad. And there's so many job opportunities for young people. You know, it's just up for them. And if they get an education, you know, the trades right now are really looking for people to work in the trades, electricians and plumbers and HVAC technicians and on I can go. Those jobs are paying quite well. So this country needs to get back like the guy that did the dirty jobs program. That's what this country needs.
Well, you're right. I mean, the jobs are out there, and I think the number that I've heard is something like 8 million jobs going begging here in this country. Our last caller said, well, there's room for overtime right now, and that's only because of the worker shortage. If we put everybody back to work, you know, and I'd have no problem with requiring, as some states have done, that if you want to get a welfare check, you have to do something for it.
Absolutely.
I believe
go pick garbage up off along the roads.
Right. Yeah, if that's all you can do, I mean, there should be something. Instead of just giving people a handout, give them some sense of dignity that they earned what they got.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'll let you go so Lance can get some time. You have a good one.
Okay, thanks, Van. Appreciate your calls, as always. Lance, you're on the mark from Herndon.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, we're going to have to instill a little better work ethic in our population because there were super jobs. One I retired from, right? That'll pay about $85 a year. And they can't get anybody to keep them on the job because it's actually work and you actually get dirty. During the time that I worked there, 30-some years, I could count on the fingers of one hand the people who hired on and quit, and that's a 300-person facility, okay?
Yeah.
But now, when we start really talking about what minimum wage ought to be,
right?
We go back in the 60s to 1967. Median income was $7,500 a year. That's about $3.50 an hour, okay? Well, the minimum wage was $1.65, half of median income. You following me?
I'm with you.
Okay, so now that it's $70,000 a year for median income, well, it should be about, $16 an hour for minimum wage. going on that?
Hey, I'm sorry. You got us at the end of the show, Lance. Call back tomorrow first thing and finish your thought. I'm sorry we don't have more time for it. Busy, busy day. I have a ton of texts I didn't get to, emails. We'll start off tomorrow with unfinished business. Thank you all so much for participating. Great, exciting day when you all call in and we have a good conversation. You've been listening to On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. This is WKOK, Sunbury, Pennsylvania.